Matthew chapter 13, verses 57. Matthew chapter 13, verses 57. We have been trying to build a very strong foundation or a conversation on honor. We're just hoping to understand how essential this virtue is, you know, in our walk with God. And so, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. We got to see and also get to learn that honor means to respect, is to regard, right? It also means to treat as uncommon. You know, many of the times people try to commonize something that is supposed to be treated as uncommon. And I'll tell you what, it is a very smart thing to not treat common what God does not treat common. I think it's a better option to be on God's side. You know, so you would lay emphasis and honor what God puts his honor on. It's a smart thing, I should think. When God says, I honor so-and-so. Now, his honor is not like he respects. But the fact that he tells you to honor or he chooses somebody for a task is a smart thing to also flow in that direction. So, here is Jesus. And I'll take you through the story. Very nice story. And then he is not shown honor. Yes, a whole Jesus was not honored. So yesterday we tried to look at what it means to honor, means to respect, it means to treat uncommon, to treat as uncommon. And then we tried to look into God's word as to the people that God tells us to honor. We saw that honor was very strong on God and then our Lord Jesus Christ and then to ministers of the gospel, then to fellow believers. So it's so key that this particular virtue not adhered to could cause a whole ministry. And not just a ministry, but a brotherhood to fail. You know, when you walk with somebody, for example, I told you, walking in honor towards other believers, you don't treat them anyhow because you know that at least these are people who have been saved by Jesus. So you treat them with esteem. He's bought them with a very heavy price. So you treat them very carefully. I gave an admonition also yesterday, on how that we must keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of this same, you know, person of the heart, is going to be where all the issues of life are going to be spanning from. You know, Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us how that we should not be conformed to this world. You see, you should not be conformed to this world. The world has a lot of dishonor today. Many people don't see why we should honor parents. Many people don't see why we should honor our bosses. Many people don't see why we should honor, you know, other people who have gone ahead of us. But that is very wrong. That is very, very wrong. We must not be conformed. We must not have a worldly mind. You know, the word conformed is almost explained to, you know, being poured to take a shape of something. So if you have water, you know, and you pour it into a square sort of bottle, it takes the shape of the bottle. That's the word to conform. It means do not allow yourself take the shape of the way the world thinks and the way the world acts, and the way the world views issues. Today, people can just wake up and they insult everybody on social media platforms. They say, it's a free world. Tell them your mind. That's wrong. It's very wrong. Jesus does not teach us to do that. I'll tell them my mind. So everybody is trying to tell somebody their mind when the mind is maybe not even correct and not even right in the first place. They have very wrong or diabolic minds. So we as Christians must ensure that we are not conforming ourselves to the way the world thinks. I went to visit somebody, and there was this old woman in the house, and she said, I should pray for her. And well, you don't reject people's prayers, or you don't reject people's requests for praying for them. And so I prayed with her. And just when I prayed with her, I said, could you pray with me too? And once she began the prayer, I almost had a lead to kneel down. And I knelt down. Immediately, she started praying, I knelt down. Yeah, I was there with somebody. I knelt down. And she finished saying the prayer, and I stood up. Well, I was the man of God, but I should be smart to know that the Lord places premium on years. I should be smart to know. Yes, I should be smart to know. If there was nothing else and no blessing I could see longevity of years. And many times longevity of years and doing well in man's days is likened to how much of honor you can exude to people who have gone ahead of you. Honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is that law that comes with longevity. He says that it may be well with you in the Lord. Now, I always try to lay emphasis on this, in the Lord. So it's supposed to be within the confines of the Lord. Right? It's supposed to be within the confines of in the Lord. So if your father or your mother is telling you that you should go and see somebody and they will do some akwanchere, and the person is not really a pastor like that, but, you know, it's just, no, that's not in the Lord. Those ones, you stick to the word of God. They're saying that don't do the ministry and don't serve God and don't do that. That's not within the Lord. In the Lord, you have to be able to make sure. So you will not exude, you know, arrogant behaviors towards your parents, thinking that you know better. No, even in your communication, there ought to be a certain kind of a firmness, yet still, a respect in that communication. Though you are firm, but you are also respectful. You are not doing it arrogantly, right? So, you will have this life of honor. Your boss and the people around you. I say this because God teaches us to follow his footsteps, and we're supposed to walk in what he walked in. And if he walked in honor towards the religious people of his day, except that he would not be mute on the word of God that he was preaching, or the word that God had given him to preach. But you never find him speak against or speak very foul language against Pharaoh or Herod or any of the people that stopped him. In fact, he was very mute about them. Yes, he never insulted anybody. So don't insult people. Yeah, don't insult people. Because why? You are a person of honor. That's what we're trying to understand. So God teaches us to honor him. He teaches us to honor Jesus. And he teaches us to honor fellow ministers of the gospel. Ministers of the gospel. Don't stand on Facebook and talk bad about somebody. And don't even watch. See, don't even watch. Because when you watch, you are more likely to think something about them. So just skip the video. Or, you know, on Facebook, there's a portion where you say you do not want to see this reel frequently or again. You just block the reel from coming again. You don't want to watch anything that is dishonorable. You see people sit on social media and they come and they lie against men of God. I tell you, they're liars. Many times, very few times are they true. I can tell you for a fact. Very few times are they true. Many times they are liars. Yeah, many times they are liars. Many times the man of God does not even know what is happening. So you don't watch them and you don't listen to them. You see, let me tell you something. If you are in the world today, you must look at it a second time when somebody chastises a man of God. Because the devil works, he's working through many people to pull men of God down. Yeah. And that's why the people also must be taught well to receive the man of God. And to also know that the man is first a man before he is of God. And so we're going to view him with that man of God, yes. But he is a man. That has been helped by God. So how about we see it like that? So there are going to be things against your pastor, believe it or not. There are going to be things concerning your pastor. Not true, many times. Oh, he's like this. He's that. He's very whatever. He's making people not take their academics seriously, making people leave the country. Now, who is that small boy? Who's that? He's doing that. Who's that person that's instigating you to say it's all about serving God? I mean, there are so many things going to be said about your man of God. But you must be taught to know this very well, right? To place honor on who God places his honor on. That's all. That's all. He's like this. He's like that. Teaching people false things. Teaching people whatever. Like this. Yeah. You say a lot of things about your man of God. And you shouldn't be shocked. But like I said, people must always be taught to protect the vessel. Yes, because God protects his vessels. He protects his vessels. He keeps his vessels. The protection wouldn't be arguments. The protection is don't give them a lending or a listening ear, or don't give them a heart. Yes. And don't join folks to say negative things about the people that labor over you. So we're not going to be conformed to this world on their, you know, hearts of dishonor. Hearts of dishonor. Many times when an elderly person is talking and you even disagree, the best thing to do is to listen. Yeah, just listen. You don't need to argue, but you know that you have chosen something in your heart. And they don't need to know that you have chosen something that they never said in your heart. You just don't need to argue. You just need to listen. And probably even say thank you for sharing that with me. But you don't accept it in your heart because you know what God's word probably might be saying. And if it's contrary, so it's to listen. It's to learn to listen. And many times when you learn to listen, you learn to pick one or two things, just a few things that you could build on that could help you. So do not be conformed to this world Don't take the world and how they, you know, go about their things and then pattern your life after that same manner. It's totally wrong. And the consequences of dishonor can be very grievous. Yes, can be very grievous. I'll show you as we go. You would not try it. You would say, I will never do this thing in my life because it's not too good a thing to be involved in. So our conduct towards one another should be watched carefully. Just going to take a few stories, and if there's a few minutes more, we'll take a step further. You know, the story of Jesus' trip to his hometown, you know, it clearly exemplifies this. I want us to take Mark's account, because Mark's account was quite detailed. We're going to read from Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. So Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. And we're going to look at this story. Okay, from now, let's hold on with the comments. Thank you very much. And then let's have the scriptures very steady. All right? So Jesus is going on a trip to his hometown. You know, your hometown is that place where everybody knows you. Everybody's excited about you. You know, they all saw you 2 years. There's a certain man that came to my house when I was close to like 15 or 16 years old. And when he came, you know, he came into the house shouting, hey, where is man? You know, they used to call me man. My grandma still calls me man. And he came in shouting. My mom was laughing. Where's man? So I came out and he said, is he the one? You know? And my mom said, yes, that's your man. And he laughed and he came to me and he tried to shake me. And I was wondering, I was standing there, I didn't know what was going on. He said, about 15 years ago, you know, he carried me and he held pie. He was holding pie while he was carrying me or something like that. And I happened to pee on him and peed on the pie too. So, I mean, he just comes in there with a memory of 16 years ago. Of how that I peed on him. And he's, according to him, it was a cloth that he highly esteemed, like he highly loved. And I peed on the cloth and I peed on the pie. So when he came in with that same mind. Where is that boy that peed on me about 15 years ago? He told my mom that he'll never forget it. Whenever he comes around, he's going to recall that story. And maybe I'll have to buy him some more shirts. So imagine Jesus is going back to his hometown, and similarly, somebody that he has peed on is there. Yeah, somebody that maybe, you know, he has changed his diapers before. If there was anything like diapers back then, I doubt. But let's just say there was somebody who had changed his diapers before. They were there. You know, people who had seen him run around, not wearing pants. So Jesus used to run around. He did. He was 100% God, 100% man. So he had 100% God component, 100% man component. He was not 50 man, 100 God, or 20 man, 100 God. No, he was full-fledged God. Full-fledged man. It means he ate, he urinated, he defecated, he did everything like anybody else. If you met Jesus at 2 months, you wouldn't expect him to speak because he's Lord of all. You hear him, ma. He went through every growth process. He was going through every growth process. So this is Jesus who's going back to where he came from. Mark 6 verse 1, I'll read quickly. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. So he had now become quite a big man, right? And When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So this is Jesus and he's teaching in the synagogue. And many who were hearing him were astonished. They were shocked. Who is this guy that he intelligently communicates the scriptures, saying, from hence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Right? So they're starting to be familiar. That's dishonor. I'm showing you a very typical picture. So they look at him and they look at him up and down. Who's this young boy? Who is that? Yeah, this happens. I'm even older than my pastor. My pastor doesn't know that I can't give birth to him two times. The same thing. Then listen to what they go on to say. After they have asked what astonished wisdom that he possessed and what mighty works were produced or done by his hands, they went on to say, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Yeah, they called him the son of Mary. They started to give a genealogy of who he actually was. Like, you, we know you. Jesus, they say, well, everywhere he goes, he's doing good. Galilee, he's done miracles. We know you. You are the son of Mary. You were a carpenter. It means that he helped his father in carpentry work as well. So they start to go natural in the things that they could see about him and the things that they know about him. It's easy to see pastor and say, oh, that's my friend, you know. I've known him for 6 years now. It's just simple dishonor. So that's the same mechanism they employ in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Then they proceed to tell him who his brothers were. The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simeon. And are his sisters here with us? Are they not here with us? Are not these sisters here? This, we know this guy. We know him. Is that not the normal person we used to know? Today he says he's become a man of God. Who is that? Who is that? Come on, you tell him we know him and you should find somewhere and sit. We knew you since you were small. It's the same context. We've known pastor for 2 years now. We know everything you preach. We know what you say. We know him. I said we know him. Now look what happens. They were offended at him. So number one, they didn't think he should have that kind of a wisdom. Means there was something, it was something they never expected. In fact, Isaiah's prophecy makes us know that Jesus was not a handsome man. He was a man of sorrow. His comeliness, you couldn't tell that was Jesus. He was acquainted with grief, a man of sorrow, despised, rejected of many is what they say about him. Yet, he was so because he had borne our grief. So Jesus was not like a very nice, handsome, curly hair, like we see him in the pictures. No. He was fought in his day, hardly. Yes. So he bore our grief. That's why he had to be full of grief. He bore it. He carried it. He became a literal representation of somebody that carried and borne the grief of the whole world. So number one, they are saying he doesn't deserve it. Because when we looked upon him, he had no comeliness. He had no form. Like this lanky. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Hey, forget about these people that they are saying. No, but you are supposed to be taught. That's what I'm teaching you. So you don't become foolish like other people who place dishonor on the people that God has chosen to put his honor on. It's a very deadly thing. So this is not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and are not his sisters with here with us. And they certainly took offense against him. They were angry. Like, who are you coming to tell me to that you? Who are you? Then Jesus replies, as scripture. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own houses. So Jesus says, you people, you like to see things wrongly. You dishonor me because I am from your kindred, or I'm from your tribe. Why do you do this? Why? We must be careful. We must be careful. We must be careful. Now, verse 5. Watch what happens as a result of their dishonor. He could there do no mighty work. The same Jesus we say, everywhere he went, he was doing good. He's that mighty healer. He's healed the lepers. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. Here, he could not do any good. He could not do any mighty work. Let me tell you something. Dishonor is against you as a person. It's not to the vessel. It's against you. Because you are the one that's looking for a miracle. And you are the one that's supposed to be receiving. So, he could not do any mighty work. Watch what he did. Save he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus could there do no mighty work. And it wasn't lack of ability. It wasn't lack of ability. Now, we're at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. I want you to see something. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, he had actually raised the dead. Let's go back. Mark 6, he could not do anything. Mark 5, 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. What honor is this? And they laughed. For here he was being dishonored, but he was honored by letting him come into the house. And they laughed at him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Arise. And straight away the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished. What great astonishment! And he charged them strictly that no man should know, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Fast forward, we're at Mark 6, 42 to 43. Mark 6, verse 4. Mark 6, verse 4. Mark 6, verse 4. So, a prophet is not without honor. He was dishonored. He was dishonored. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 5. The next verse. So, after he was dishonored, the same Jesus that comes right in from raising the dead could not do any miracle. Could not do any miracle. The same one that had come from raising the dead, he could not do any miracle. Now, see something. Now, earlier before raising the dead, it was not something like a disability that he could not do miracles. The dishonor that the people had on him by trying to tell him, we know him. He's not any powerful man. In fact, they were even shocked that why he would be able to express such wisdom in the scriptures. Now see, before Mark chapter 5, right? Verse 35. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, he had done another miracle. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We'll read somewhere around 25 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So this was a miracle before the raising of the dead. This was like 10 verses away. Now he gets into Mark 6, verse 1. No miracle. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, right, and touched his garments, for she said, you know what she said? She said, the other people were saying, we know him, carpenter, mother of Mary. Who is this man that is showing wisdom like this? We know the sisters. You, we know you, keep quiet. But listen to what she's saying. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Just the miracle before the raising of the dead, there is a healing of somebody who had been flowing with blood for 12 years. Honor, she said, if I may touch his clothes, this honor, who is he? We know him. What can he do? We have heard everything he has to say. We have experienced of him. Wouldn't he say this? Wouldn't he do this? Oh, we know it. We've heard it. Oh, we even follow him a lot. Oh, we know his house. Oh, we know his father. Oh, we know him. Level 400, we work together. Dishonor. 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 And it goes against the vessel. So he could not do any mighty works. Right before, two miracles before, he was healing a woman who had been plagued in blood for 6 years. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who toucheth me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Let me tell you something. You can receive things from vessels who were not even aware or willing to give them to you with the right honor and the right heart. Many times the power of God flowing through his vessel can be harnessed. It can be controlled for your favor if you know how to receive it in honor. So Jesus is not even praying for her. And she was able to stretch out her hand in faith, touch the hem of his garment, and there was power, his virtue, power, Holy Ghost power. Honor is what releases the power of God in your situation. Honor. That's what releases the power of God in your situation. When you learn to see the vessel rightly, the power of God can be released in your situation. Now listen, Jesus never knew what the woman was doing until he felt the virtue leave her. Watch what happens in verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Honor can release something powerful in your life. Honor of God's vessel can turn a very muddy situation into clear waters. If you can learn to see rightly, see God rightly, see Jesus rightly, see his minister rightly, see the brethren rightly, you're going to have the power of God always surging on in your direction. Then he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It means honor is faith. Yeah. Your ability to regard and say, this thing will bless me. This thing can bless me. Now, we know him. Oh, Pastor, Pastor. Pasti, pastus, pastes, pastus, papapas. Walk in honor. Are you listening? I believe that there are certain privileges that I have because I walk in honor. It's true. It's true. It's true. There are certain privileges that I believe that I have because I walk in honor. I'm not talking about fake honor. It's like when you're around the person, you are trying to lie and you are trying to make something up. You coil yourself in very gently, but in your heart, you're saying, why should we do that? And why should we do that? Who does he think he is? He thinks we have to be following him and doing. No, it's not that. It's not like that. Is a hearty sort of, you know, place to be. Yeah. So the dishonor there was that they took offense. Dishonor. They were familiar with him. They knew his mother, his father, knew his sisters, his brothers. They even knew the names of his brothers and his sisters. They took offense. They took offense. They refused to see him as Jesus, the anointed one. Rather, they chose to see him as a carpenter's son, son of Mary, brother of James, John, Judas, Simeon. That familiarity resulted in a certain kind of offense. That familiarity is what resulted in offense. Pastor, you can't tell us things like that. Pastor, why are you telling me to do this? Say, why are you telling me to stop this? Why is it that they are always trying to control and to manipulate? And to, we are not to be controlled. We are supposed to be taught the word of God simply and not manipulated or controlled. I agree, no manipulations or controls, but that's the word of God I teach you. So they took offense. When you take offense on your pastor, on somebody, on it means that you are walking in dishonor. And whatever it is that he has, it will be very far away from you in Jesus' name. It will be very far away from you. Let God not give to anybody what I have if they cannot honor and recognize what and who I am. Let God not give it to anybody. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Let it be far away from you. Let only those who walk in honor receive. Yeah. Because I didn't receive with dishonor. I didn't receive with dishonor. One of the reasons why I gathered my things, packed my bag, came to Accra, attended Rhema Bible School, was because of the honor I had for Kenneth Hagin. It wasn't even for, like, maybe, I wasn't even trying to, maybe, like, no Bible. I just said, no, I just have to honor this thing. Yeah, I just have to honor it. I wanted to be affiliated to something that he had done. Like, I want to say that I was also part of it. Yeah. Last Friday, when I went to Rhema again, and my teacher was saying that that's an alumni. Yeah, that's an alumni. And he has already done the course. I'd already done the course, but I had paid for it again to go and sit down and be taught again. Some of you, we teach something once or twice. You say, we, Pastor, can't Pastor teach anything else? Can't he teach anything else? It should be very far away from, because I didn't receive it like that. Yeah. I didn't receive it. I some of the things I received with tears and, you know, mesmerized. That's how I received. Yeah, that's how I received. I'm not shocked today. Miracles are happening and all of that. Go and see what I did in honor of T.L. Osborne in February, many years ago. I wrote a book. I got up one afternoon and I got to realize that it was T.L. Osborne's birthday. And I said, oh, what can I do to remember T.L. Osborne? What can I do to know that T.L. Osborne has done something? And that night on WhatsApp, I taught for hours on evangelism, because that was what he loved to do. Travel to India, got to see many people saved, went on crusades, known as a miracle worker. I just said, no, I can't sit down and not do anything. And it wasn't like I was trying to, you know, be loud about it. I just honored what I saw and what I loved. Yeah. And the reason why I even honored him that much was because I got to know that he was a very good friend to Kenneth Hagin. Yes, but he's not living. He's not alive. He's not alive. I just got to know that T.L. Osborne was a very good friend to Kenneth Hagin. I said, no, if he was Kenneth Hagin's friend, it means that I should be able to recognize, because friends mean something. Yeah, and that day I started teaching in them. I didn't know that 4 years or 5 years, I'll walk in the same miracle-working power that T.L. Osborne walked in. Yeah. Four years or something later, I got up and I saw myself in the vision just before the camp at Legon. I saw that he was dressed like me and I was dressed like him. And I said, well, I didn't even understand until the third day when the miracles started happening. I said, oh, creating miracles. Just by being able to recognize that there is something that God is doing. So all these things, I think I've been able to see it and recognize it. Yes, been able to see it and recognize it. You don't want to see it and recognize it. It should not come to you. In fact, I'm not the one even saying it should not come to you. It will not come to you. It will not come to you. It's not that I'm the one saying it. It doesn't come to people who cannot see and recognize. Shouldn't be fake. You know, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. If I'm not for you, I'm not for you. I'm not going to stand and laugh and giggle up. I don't have anything to do with you. Yeah. If I'm for you, I'm for you. That's how I am. When I make up my mind, I'm for you, I'm for you. I change my mind. I'm not. That's all. Let's pack our thing. Let's go. Don't have anything to do. Yeah. So they refuse to see him as Jesus. You must begin to make a heart honor check. Where did I miss it? Where did I see wrongly? Where did I harbor something in my heart? Where did I and change it quickly? I'm helping you change it quickly. And change it with love and reverence and honor. There was a time I was praying in my room and it slipped out of my mouth. Dear Lord, please, I pray for Kenneth Hagin. Yeah, it slipped out. Meanwhile, he's not living. He died in 2003 or so. Yeah. Just thank you, Lord. Pray for Kenny. Because I can see. I can see. I can see. I was telling somebody who was with me, I told her, I said, if Kenneth Hagin was alive today, I'll do savings and go to Tulsa and come back. If you, my money will finish. My money will finish. I'll spend my lifetime saving to be able to go to Tulsa. Just see him. I will just be satisfied. When I just see, I'll be full. Yeah. And it's the same honor I give to Bishop Dag. Because I get to realize that the same thing that was on Kenneth Hagin is the same thing that is. You don't fight what is working in another man that you know very well that is the same thing. You don't fight it. I was like, he listened to Kenneth Hagin. Something jumped out from the tape and entered him. Is that just what you want to dishonor? Say, so you know doctrine, you know Bible. Shut up over there. Shut up over there. So they refuse to see him as Jesus. They anointed. Anointed Jesus. You must begin to say, my pastor is very anointed. And don't take it. Yeah. Begin to see it. Begin to see it. It will begin to work for you. It will begin to work for you. Very anointed. The brethren are very anointed. I believe that when I speak to my pastor prays for me. I'll be using. God has helped my pastor. God is ready. God is using my pastor. He's anointed. He's called by God. The power of God is upon his ministry. Yeah. It's not hard. It's not like you talk. Oh, is there like no, you actually believe it. I want to minister somewhere this Friday. And the healings. Yeah, I was amazed. On Sunday, the healings. Somebody said, "Oh, it's just something that happens." Hey, go and stand there and try it and see if it will work. Go and stand there and see them be healed. I laid hands on someone who was gasping for air. She was annoyed. She was what do you call it? Whatever. Gotten into the hospital as a result of that. The doctors couldn't find out what was wrong. Gasping for air like that. And that was how she was healed. You must begin to receive and believe. That's how it will work. That's how it will work. I saw healings up and down. Yeah. Yeah. You are walking in this. I'm showing you how to also get it. Yeah, showing you how. When you see me talking about a man of God that I love, you think I don't know anything or I can't do anything. Yeah. I can talk about them from morning to evening. For those of you who went to the camp for me, I can talk about a man of God that I love from morning. I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying to you. I can talk about him and say, wow, I love this. Can you see that? Can you see? You think there's something wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me. I just know how to recognize the things that I see. I can recognize it. God is granting you the grace to be able to respect in Jesus' name. To be able to recognize in Jesus' name. To be able to appreciate in Jesus' name. To be able to appreciate, it's like you appreciate it. Not false appreciation, true appreciation. Yeah. Yeah. True appreciation. do appreciate, you appreciate it. You appreciate it. It's a wisdom that God gives to you when he wants to take you far. I can tell you the truth. I can tell you the truth. It's a wisdom that God gives you if he wants to take you far. He gives you the wisdom to be able to recognize something, respect it, love it. Because the things that you love are the things you walk in and the things you have. So she went. She saw Jesus as a healer. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I don't need him to turn to me and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, blood stop. No, I just need to see him. When I see him and I touch him, I'll be healed. You can have resolutions like that as you're coming into meetings. You're saying, if I just touch Pastor, I'll be fine. You can have resolutions. It's very biblical. Yeah. If I can but just touch, that's all, I'm healed. And you will see miracles happening in your life. If I can just get Pastor to pray with this thing for me, it will be fine. It will be fine. Pastor, can you please pray for me? I that's all. So she went there. And Jesus could not even hinder the reception. Pastor is coming to visit you. It should not be ordinary. If you are very smart, it should not be ordinary. You should cherish it. In your hearts of hearts, you should cherish it. You should love it. Yeah, you should love it. You should love it. So when she heard of Jesus, she pressed behind, touched the hem of his garment. Then truly, she was made whole. She could have been made whole. I'm very sure that she heard of things like how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and of the devil, for God was with him. I'm sure she heard something like that. Then she touched with faith, and she was made whole. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. I think I'll pause on this story and then we'll read it some more. We'll read it some more. Father, thank you that we're going to be full of honor. We're going to be full of honor. We're going to be full of honor. We're going to be able to recognize. We're going to be able to respect. We're going to be able to love, like genuine. Hey, me, when I love somebody, I love them genuinely. I love without sense. I'm not talking about relationship wise. I'm talking about when I cast my love on God's vessel. You think there's something wrong. I've been listening to Pastor Nathaniel for years. Years. And I can be humble to say what has rubbed off on him is somehow on me. Maybe not all, but I can see that small. It's there. Yeah. I've gone to his couple of meetings a couple of times. And the kind of presence that flows in worship and honor and adorative praise. Yeah. I see that small is working. I'm hoping to catch all. But actually, I can see that the thing that I saw is here also. Is here. Is here. Also is here. Yeah. My teaching ministry changed when I started to recognize something. Yeah. It totally jumped ship. It took a different thing. There are many things for you to catch. There are many things for you to receive. if you can recognize them and you can respect many things. You see it work effortlessly. Something that took me years to force, you just with honor, you just see yourself walking it. Yeah, something that took me years. You see that you'll be walking in it. You didn't fast like I did. You probably didn't pray like I did. You didn't do, like, you are just there, but it's working. It's working. It's like Wi-Fi. You just, via honor, you tap into it and it starts hotspotting. Yeah. Hotspotting. There are things to receive as you walk in honor. There are things to receive as you walk in honor. There are things to receive when you genuinely love, when you genuinely honor, when you genuinely reverence. It's not fake. Genuineness. Father, thank you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.